Florida law. Ask an attorney. Just give him a call.
This is Ask an Attorney. All about Florida law with attorney Joe Pippin. If you have a legal question, call Joe right now in Tampa. Call 813-287-5700. Anywhere else, toll free at 877-943-9673. That's 877-943-9673. The law office is open. And now your host, Joe Pippin.
Hey, good morning. The law office is open. I'm attorney Joe Pippin, Ask an Attorney All About Florida Law. Host of Ask an Attorney All About Florida Law for 35 years now, longest running show in Florida, as far as I know. And if you have a legal question, hey, I'm here to help. Got up this morning just to help you. You know, if it's something I can do for you, something I can help you understand, something I can explain, a question I can answer, you have a toll-free number, 877-943-9673. 877-943-9673. And phone lines are open. Your question can be about wills, trust, probate, guardianship, power of attorneys, healthcare surrogates, living wills. Can be just about any area of law. And I've hosted the show for a long time, so I can, I've had guests on many times, legal experts in different areas of law. I've answered questions myself for 35 years. I was nationally syndicated for a couple of years on Ask an Attorney All About Florida Law. We were in about 39 states and 80-some cities. And if you throw a question at me, I can at least point you in the right direction. If it's all about Florida law, it's a good chance I can really, really get you pointed in the right direction. And all you have to do is to call the number. It can be about wills, trust, probate, guardianship, power of attorneys, healthcare surrogates, living wills, family law. It can be about real estate law. Can be just about any area of law. Some areas I don't practice, of course, and I'll have to give you a heads up right away that I would can give you a referral on that type of question. Again, you have a toll-free number, 877-943-9673. We're broadcasting on multiple stations around Florida today. We're doing the show live from the Jacksonville area on WBOB 600 The Answer. Our home station is Salem out of Tampa, Salem Communications out of Tampa. And on that station, you can listen to us on 570, 910, 860, 930. Some of those stations have FM components as well. You're listening on 90.3 FM. We've been on that station a long, long time. Helped start them, I don't know, 20-some years ago with their first telethon. Associated with the Landmark Baptist Church there. It's on, that station's owned by a church. 570 and 910, of course, are Faith Talk Radio. We're also on a Crystal River, Crystal Rock station there. We're on a community station in Sun City Center, 96.3 FM. You're listening on WTAN in Clearwater. We're listening on multiple stations around Florida, no matter where you're listening. You have a toll-free number. All our phone calls can be channeled into one number, 877-943-9673. Phone lines are open. And there's some bound to be some little question that's nagging you that you want to know the information to. Glad to help you. A lot of our questions come in on estate planning. And some of those questions are just, what do I do? Well, suppose you have a blended family. Suppose you have a blended family, and now you, as a couple, been married for a while, own assets, some assets his, some assets hers, some assets jointly. How do you go about deciding how to take care of those assets? I've had couples come in, and maybe one side of the relationship had children, the other didn't. Had several of those this week, actually. How do you do estate planning for in that circumstance? Well, first of all, whatever you do, you should get started and do something. That something can be changed later as you go along. You might start off by really not providing a lot to each other. And then as things progress in the marriage and the long-term relationship, you might want to do more. You can always amend the documents. you don't necessarily want the survivor of you in the relationship to wind up with everything, with the chance of omitting the children from the first marriage. A lot of difficult issues there to get through and talk about. So if you have a question about any of that, I'd be glad to do so. Let's go to our first caller, Kathy. Kathy, where are you calling from?
I'm calling from Sarasota.
Sarasota, what can I do for you?
I'm a single female. I have been living with a man 4 years in Illinois and 2 years in Florida. And I just by chance have more money than he does. And I'm concerned about common law marriage.
Mm-hmm. Well, there is no common law. There is no common law marriage in Florida. So it wouldn't matter how long you live together. There's no spouse, so there's no spousal rights. There's no companionship rights. You'd never be presumed to be husband and wife living in Florida because Florida doesn't allow common law marriage.
Okay, I just needed to confirm that. Is there anything that I would need to do to protect my money from him getting at my money?
Well, he would have no rights. He'd have no spousal rights. He'd have no companionship rights. You could have you're not planning on getting married, I assume, but you could have something similar to a premarital agreement.
Okay.
Where he waives any rights he has, but he really doesn't have any. So if that would give you peace of mind to have an agreement like that, I don't see anything wrong with that. That he puts it down in writing that he waives all rights he may have, but he doesn't have any. So, I mean, if that would make you feel better, though, some people do that. Some people like a document just to make them feel better, to assure that he won't try anything or go after anything. Sometimes a case will come up where person you live with there has contributed to the home. Maybe they added money for an addition to the home or an improvement to the home. Or new roof to the home. And sometimes they make some effort to get part of the home because of all the money they put into the home. Sometimes they'll file some type of claim on that. So if that's happening, you might want to have some agreement that basically anything you give me is just what we're going to call rent. And it doesn't establish any ownership rights.
Okay. Yes, because he definitely does contribute, and I'm just concerned down the line.
Then a little agreement, then anything you pay toward the improvement of our home or enhance our home is considered rent, and you're signing this agreement where you waive all rights to any interest in the home. But other than that, that's probably the most common problem that pops up once in a while is they contribute a large amount. Then they consider themselves an owner, even though they're not on the deed. And then they file some equity claim on the home or try to. And you can easily get rid of that concern in your mind by just having a written agreement where he waives any interest to the home, and anything he's paid toward the enhancement of the home would be considered a rent.
All right. Thank you very much for your help.
Thank you. We do have offices. If you have an attorney, great. But if you ever need help, we have offices there in Lakewood Ranch area.
Okay, that's near me. All right. Appreciate your assistance.
All right, thank you for listening.
Bye-bye.
Hey, now that question may have helped a lot of people, and that's the purpose of the show. You ask a question, and that question applies to other people who may be listening, who might be worried about the same thing, so now they have an answer. It's what Ask an Attorney is all about, helping as many people as we possibly can, and you contribute to that by your phone call. So don't be shy. 877-943-9673 is a toll-free number. No matter where you're listening, you have a toll-free number at 877-943-9673. We had Peggy call in, and Peggy dropped for some reason. Peggy, call back if you can. I'd love to help you. And anyone else listening that has a legal question or a legal problem, I'd love to help. People ask me, who's going to call an attorney on Saturday morning at 8 o'clock? I do a Sunday morning show at 6 o'clock on another station, by the way. So I get asked all the time, who's going to call an attorney at 8 o'clock or 6 o'clock on a Saturday morning or a Sunday morning? My answer is somebody that's been up all night. One of the main, not maybe me, the main callers, but somebody's going to call because they've been up all night worried about some legal issue. and they sure would have liked to have talked to someone to give them a little bit of direction or peace of mind. If you have a question or need a little peace of mind, perhaps, 877-943-9673. Phone lines are open. We're broadcasting live today on Facebook Live. So if you want to try to find that, I'm broadcasting live. It's on my page, Joseph Pippin. We have three pages on Facebook. We have my personal page. We have an Ask an Attorney page. We have the Law Offices of Joseph Pippin page. All of those are, you can join the Ask an Attorney or Law Offices page. And all of those are out there for you to have. We're also part of LinkedIn, Instagram. We have multiple social media sites. And if you want to join in on that, please do. Love to have you connected to one of our groups. If you would like our free, learn more about the office. By the way, I had a wonderful time Wednesday night. I was a speaker at the Indian Rocks Baptist Church in Largo, Florida. I speak at numerous churches. If you have a need for a speaker, either at a church or some other type of group, I'm available. There's no fee for that. Did Peg come back? All right. So if you need a speaker, we'll talk a little bit more about that. Let's go to Peg. Hey, Peg.
Hi, Joe.
I have
a question about
Yeah, where are you calling from? Where are you calling from?
I'm calling from St. Petersburg.
All right. Yes, ma'am. A question about a trust. How can I help?
Yeah. We have my husband and I have a living trust, a revocable living trust. Now he passed away, and when I pass away, and the successor trustee takes over, do we have to change the name of that trust? Because neither one of us would be living any longer.
All right. So what happens is your successor trustee takes a death certificate in to an attorney, in the attorney that prepared the trust or the person's own attorney, either way. The attorney will do an acceptance of trustee. The trust becomes irrevocable upon the death of both you and your husband, so now it needs a different tax number. So attorney will do several fairly minor things. They would follow your will with the court. They would amend, to prepare an acceptance of trustee for the person to actually sign. A tax number needs to be obtained because now the trust is irrevocable. So basically, there's a procedure. Then the person would take all that into the bank where you have money. And then they would change the name of the account just to be, say you're the last one, that your husband died first and you're the last one and then you die. So the trust would have been changed to just your name. And then when you die, the trust would be your name with your successor trustee as listed as a trustee. And then that successor trustee would go around and collect the accounts, pay the bills, do the taxes, and make the distribution.
And then it would no longer be an irrevocable trust?
Well, once all the assets are distributed out of it, the trust would be empty, and there would actually be no trust.
Yeah. Well, can it be continued on? Like if the successor trustee took over, could they leave everything intact and just continue on?
Well, they would have to pretty much follow the instructions in your trust. So if you wanted the trust to continue for a number of years after you die, that language would be in the trust, and they would have to follow that. If they want to...
So if that's not in the trust, then we have to get a new trust.
No, you can just amend your trust.
Just amend the trust to say that it will continue on?
Yeah. Yeah, but, you know, you need probably to discuss this. Usually there's a purpose for doing that. Like the beneficiaries are not capable of managing their assets. There's a spendthrift involved. They would spend it all too quickly on something foolish. There's addiction sometimes, reasons to continue a trust.
Yeah.
There are lots of reasons,
it's
so you probably need to
I own a couple of houses, and I own a couple of houses and stock and all, and I just want to leave that like that. So it can continue on, you know?
All right. Well, that would be a good discussion.
And then they'll share. Yeah.
That would be a good discussion with your attorney, the pluses and minuses of all of that. But the trust, you don't generally, And it depends on the size of the estate and whether it's worthwhile to do that. And if some of the beneficiaries could own a house and rent it out themselves, you know, that might be smarter. But it's totally up to you. It's your money, your estate. You can do what you want to. But that'd be a discussion with an attorney. It can be done, of course. So the answer
change
to your
the
question.
Change the language and everything.
Yeah, the question, yeah, your question is, can it be done? Yes, it can.
Yeah. Okay, thank you, Joe.
All right, thanks, Peg. All right, let's go to Michael calling. Michael, where are you calling from?
Hello. Well, yeah. From Tampa. Calling from Tampa.
Yeah, they usually put that on my screen where a caller is calling from, but okay.
Okay.
All right, go ahead.
Yeah, I enjoy the show. Very informative.
Well, thank you
very much. One question. I live by myself, and I had a roommate with a roommate agreement. But what happens if you have somebody in the house without anything on paper, any kind of agreement? How can you, you know, kick out that person? What is the law in Florida?
Well, you can treat them as a tenant and try to evict them. There are two, but, you know, why not have an agreement? If you're worried about it and you think you might need to make this person leave, just have a month-to-month lease agreement.
Yes, but that you have to go to the procedure of eviction, which you have to go to court and...
Well, there's
know,
no other way.
Otherwise,
no, there's no other way to get them out. You know, you could...
If the person is here but you don't have any agreement, let's say even you invite somebody to stay, you know, a couple of days or something, and at one point you want to get rid of that person, for how can you do that?
Well, you ask them
to go to eviction?
Well, you might have to. I mean, if they feel like they've camped in and have a right to stay there and not going to refuse to leave, you can change the locks on them and don't give them a key. You could evict them, eject them. There are legal procedures to get them out. You can give them notice to leave, and you consider if they're on your property, they're trespassers, and then call the police. I mean, there are lots of things you can try, but why, if you do you have somebody, how long has this person been with you in your home that you're worried about?
No. I had a problem with one of the roommates before, but I had agreement
in writing
by that person and by me.
Okay.
And the person left, you know, voluntarily, but I don't know if, because that's the law. I know the law. When you have some kind of agreement or lease, you cannot change the locks. You cannot take that person's property outside on the street.
Well, no, if you have a written agreement and they're in violation of that, then your recourse, of course, is to evict them. And evicting them is a legal process.
Right, I know that, but that's what I'm saying. If that person doesn't have anything, haven't signed any agreement with me, can I just, you know, take the stuff and put them out or call the cops?
I would say that person.
Yep.
All right. Moving forward, do you have that circumstance now in your home where you want somebody to leave and they won't?
No, I don't have it. I just want to know what I can do.
Okay, well, moving forward, be smart and have an agreement. I mean, you have a written agreement, then you're going to have to evict them. If you're not currently faced that situation, the answer would be always have an agreement where you have the right to evict them.
Mm-hmm. Well, if you don't have it.
Well, Michael, don't even go that. You know, that's the foolish question. If you don't have it, you... going to cause yourself a lot more problems. So have it. The answer is to always have an agreement. All right, Michael, I'm going to move on to my next caller. I hope I helped you. Let's go to Jose. Okay. Jose, what can we do for you?
Good morning, sir. Thank you for your show. Appreciate it.
And where are you calling from?
Clearwater, Florida.
All right. What can we do for you?
My question is regarding trust. I think you answered a lot of it to the other young lady. What's the difference between the trust and a will? Is trust just active now and will after I die kind of thing? Or what's, because we have a blended family situation, so I want to get things in the right order, in order in case something happens. So I don't know if it's trust or will is the right way to go.
All right. The simple answer is the will upon death. If you have if you own assets and you die and you have a will and the asset is now in a deceased person's name, then you have probate because there's no other way to get assets out of a deceased person's name than probate. So if the asset is in a living trust, the trust is still living, the asset's not in the name of a deceased person. And the successor trustee that you would have named in the document can now avoid probate.
Okay.
So a trust is just a fancy will that avoids probate. Probate is a 3 to 6% fee upon death. It takes 6 months to a year to go through the whole process. Wills don't avoid guardianship. A trust can have a successor trustee come in and take care of things if you become incapacitated, and it's a private document. So people say, well, what does the trust cost? The trust doesn't, we have flat fees. So if you are a married couple doing two wills, two power of attorneys with healthcare surrogates and two living wills, the fee would be like $620. If you did a joint trust package, all of those are included, plus the trust, plus the deed, and it's $795. Those are office fees from our firm that we post on our website.
Okay. And with the trust, can assets that are still, for example, I still have a mortgage on my home, can I transfer that to the trust, or I have to have it paid off?
No, you can transfer it to the trust. It's just subject to the mortgage.
Okay.
So the mortgage does not have to be paid off.
Oh, awesome. Okay. Well, thank you, sir.
All right. Thank you. Thank you for calling. You're listening to Ask an Attorney all about Florida law. Our phone lines are open now. And if you have question to call in, 877-943-9673, 877-943-9673. Give us a call. Your question, all of these questions today, I'm sure have helped multiple people who are listening to the show, and that's the purpose of the show. So don't be shy about calling and asking a question. Give you a little peace of mind. It might give you some direction. Give you some choices to think about, perhaps. And it's all free. You have a toll-free number, 877-943-9673, 877-943-9673. Phone lines are open. Hey, I was talking earlier about if you need a speaker. I love going out to groups. I get invites all the time and love that. I was at Indian Rocks Baptist Church this past Wednesday night, giving a presentation. A couple of weeks before that, I was at the Tampa Bay Community Church. I speak to AARP groups, retired federal employee groups, Kiwanis, Rotary clubs. Here in Jacksonville, there was an alumni newcomers club I spoke to. That was over at Marsh Landing. That was a really large group. But I don't necessarily have to. You don't have to invite me because you have a small group. I love doing smaller groups as well. It could be 10, 20 people. That'd be fine. I've actually done Sunday morning sermon for 5,000 people over three services. So, I mean, I just like to go out, and it doesn't, the 10 or 20 persons, smaller groups are fine. Coffee meetings at home associations and things like that, I do a lot of those, and it's all free. If you'd like to have me come speak at your group, all you do is call the office. No, this is the office toll-free number, 1-800-226-3529. That's 1-800-226-3529. On my way into the studio this morning here in Jacksonville, I let a young man into the building. It's a secure building. The radio station's on the second floor. On the first floor, they have like a classroom. So I was asking this young man I was letting in to the building. I said, what class are you taking? And he told me. And I said, oh, are you studying to be a pastor? And he said, yes. And then he told me the church here in the Ponte Beach area. He told me the church. And I was telling him a little bit about a speaking engagement. So gave him there a poster sheet, which I'll offer you in a few minutes. And so he said, I'll definitely tell my senior pastor, and I think we're very interested. We'd love to have you. So, hey, It's available, so why not? Let's go to Joe calling. And Joe, where are you calling from?
St. Pete.
All right, what can we do for you?
Well, I just had a question. I filed for bankruptcy in 2010, and I want to know how long I have to wait, or how can I get that off my credit report?
Well, I don't think. Okay, hold on. My producer came in. So it's going to be on your credit report for, I don't do bankruptcy, but I do have a bankruptcy attorney in my office that could answer that, but it's going to be there a long time. It could be there, I forget the number of years, it's 7 comes to mind, but...
You'll soon be 10, so...
But you'll soon be 10? Well, you could call our office and talk to Jim, because he does credit repair type of law, too, and he does bankruptcy. So, and he won't charge you for the call, so if you want to just ask him, tell him you talked to me on the radio this morning... And you have a question that you hope he'll answer for you, and how do you repair your credit rating after bankruptcy, and what's the number of years where it's going to show up?
Give me his number, please.
727-586-3306. And that's extension, go to extension 200, and then just ask for Jim.
Oh, I appreciate it. I'll do that Monday morning.
All right, thank you. All right, let's go to Roger from Winter Haven.
Hello?
Hey, Roger, how are you?
I'm doing good. How are you doing this morning?
Good.
I got a question for you. Actually, it's for my mom. She had a house built, or my dad had a house built through the, like a government home or whatever. She owned the land. They got it built. But before the house got built, my dad passed away. And when my mom moved in here, I was wondering, or she wanted to know, if, since it's like a government home, they got to wait for 10 years, something like that, before it's actually hers. And can she borrow money, like to a bank with this house, or does she have to wait after 10 years?
Well, I don't think a bank's going to loan money as a mortgage on a home unless she absolutely owns it.
Okay.
Because if what you're saying is she doesn't really own it till 10 years, and suppose she dies in the ninth year and never owned it, and then the bank doesn't have
they said that if as long as a family member lives here with the same name of the family, it continues to go on. So the family would probably take over the payments, but probably still not, right?
Well, does she have a deed? Do you know? I mean, if you looked on the county records, what shows up as the owner of that property? And if you don't know the answer to that, you can just call my office and give me some information, and we'll look on the county records and advise you. I wouldn't charge you anything if you. But the county, does she get a tax bill for the real estate? Does she pay it every year?
Yes.
I mean, every year you get a tax bill.
Yes, sir.
So how is that bill addressed? Do you know?
I have no idea.
Yeah, if you could send me a copy of the tax bill, that gave me all the information I need to know, probably, and I can look at that, and if I can't figure it out from the tax bill, I can look on the county records and let you know.
Okay, who did I get your number? I'm sorry.
Do you want to email me? Or you want to just call?
I can do that, yes.
Email
I'll call. I'm not good at
it. Okay, email. You can call our toll-free number. You're in Polk County, Winter Haven. So we have an 863 number, 863-422-1370.
I think it was the last 4 digits, 1370. Okay.
All right.
I'll have a mom call you guys. That sounds good. I appreciate your help.
All right, thank you.
Thank you.
All right, you're listening to Ask an Attorney All About Florida Law. If you would like to call our office, since we're broadcasting all over the state, I'll give you the toll-free number. 1-800-226-3529. That's 1-800-226-3529. And I'd be glad that's the number you would call to make an appointment. That's the number you would call if you want to talk to me. So if you like our free estate planning poster sheet, it's a large double-sided sheet. It has Lots of information about estate planning on one side. It has sheet about wills, trust, probate, the differences in estate planning on one side. It has a chart on probate cost. It has a diagram about how trust work. Would love to mail it to you. On the other side has all of our website, office addresses, phone numbers, radio show information, just a way to contact us basically through multiple ways. If you like this sheet, I'd love to mail it to you. You can get that one of three ways. You can call our toll-free office number, 1-800-226-3529. That's 1-800-226-3529. You can email me your name and address at Joe, J-O-E, at attypip.com. That's Joe, J-O-E, at attypip.com. You can text me your name and address at 727-667-3967. All right, let's go to Ron in Jacksonville.
Hey, good morning. Thank you for doing what you do.
Well, my pleasure.
I haven't... say again?
I said my pleasure.
Oh, okay. My neighbor has a home. Hasn't paid the mortgage for 11 months. Didn't pay the taxes. And I said, hey, they've moved out into their kid's home. And I said, I'd be interested in assuming it. And we discussed it as a positive, assuming or short selling. And she was on board for 3 or 4 days.
Mm-hmm.
And then she said, let me talk to an advisor. So she did. The next day she called back, and the advisor said, just let it go to foreclosure. And I was kind of surprised that foreclosure was a much worse situation than short selling.
Mm-hmm.
Why would somebody say, it's a high mortgage, and the interest has now made it even higher. Why would an advisor say, hey, don't short sell it, let it go to foreclosure? Can you think of a reason?
No, the only reason would be that the short sale doesn't get rid of all of the liens and black clouds and other debts that might be stuck on the property.
That's what I was thinking.
Foreclosure would get rid of all those. So you really wouldn't know the best way to go unless you did had someone do a title search on the property and see what liens or other problems are associated with the ownership.
Understood. Okay. Thank you very much.
All right. Thank you for calling. All right. Bye. You're listening to Ask an Attorney All About Florida Law. If you would like to have some thought that you have that you think you know the answer to confirmed, or tell you what other circumstances might be associated with it, that was a good example of that, where that probably helps a lot of other people who might be worried about ownership of property and buying property. And that's a great reason why you have title insurance, actually. You have all of that research so you know that when you purchase that home, or take over that home, or assume the payments on a home, that the home is free and clear of any title issues, and that you do, in fact, have a clear warranty deed. Warranty deed means that a warranty is in place to where you own it free and clear of any of those little black clouds or liens or mortgages or judgments or anything else that might be associated with the ownership and title. You're listening to Ask an Attorney All About Florida Law. Again, I'm Attorney Joe Pippin, practicing attorney, host of Ask an Attorney All About Florida Law for 35 years now. And if you have a legal question, all you have to do is to call our toll-free number, 877-943-9673. That's 877-943-9673. Phone lines are open. You only have few minutes left in the show to give us a call to get that question answered. If you would, and also you might be watching today on Facebook Live. If you're listening on watching on Facebook Live, you get to watch and listen. And glad to see, I see we have a number of people now watching the show as well. If you'd like to join our Facebook page or the Ask an Attorney group, let us know. You can just contact me. The Joseph Pippin is the personal page. The Ask an Attorney and law offices are Joseph Pippin are all public pages. And glad to have you come in. We're also on LinkedIn and Instagram. And we have a YouTube channel, by the way, which is a bunch of our shows that have been videoed and other some television shows that have been videoed all on our YouTube channel. So please access all of that. And if you want are interested in watching, maybe you heard a question today that would benefit someone else. Well, you can, if you're in the Tampa Bay area, by the way, the on 570-910, they rebroadcast the show on Sunday night at 5 o'clock. So a lot of people tell me they don't get up at 8 o'clock or they're not awake or don't have the radio on during that time. Well, they rebroadcast on 570-910 in Tampa area. They rebroadcast that show at 5 p.m. Let's go to Anthony in Venice.
Hi, thank you for taking my call. I just recently moved from New Jersey to Florida, to Venice, Florida, and I have a question about medical marijuana.
Mm-hmm.
I went to a doctor named a doctor, and he said that he has 50 nurses and 50 doctors coming to him. And I'm a nurse, and I'm about to work in the hospital, and I was just wondering, certain states have protection for people on medical marijuana, but it's a new thing in the country. Certain states are legal medically, certain states are legal recreationally. But there's people that are all medical marijuana holders in the state that work in the hospitals. How do they get the jobs in the hospitals?
Well, So you're worried about...
They take a drug urine test.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm wondering how they get around the drug test. You know, even the CBD sold in 7-Eleven, CBD makes you positive for THC for marijuana on a drug test. The CBD is being sold rapidly. I don't understand how people are getting jobs in the hospital.
Well, that's a good question. I'm sure that not all hospitals in certain jobs would allow a person
follow the federal
based
law
on surgery things and things like that to hire. But I'm not, you know, actually that's a great question. I'm not sure I know the answer. I've had questions before.
Can you point me in the right direction?
Yeah, well, I can try to find that out for you. Maybe if you want to email me, I'll find that out. But you know, I get questions all the time on concealed weapons and permits for medical marijuana. And last week, I had a question on a commercial driver who had a medical marijuana card, and he was worried about it. So I know it's a...
it's a big topic right now. Yeah.
And on the concealed weapon...
If you give me your email,
Address is Joe, J-O-E, at attypip.com.
Okay.
The concealed weapon and the commercial truck driver, though, I think the answer to that, from as far as I could find on research, is they don't prohibit you from having a concealed weapon permit or a commercial driver's license if you are on medical marijuana. But you can abuse that, and you can still get in trouble, like with a DUI, for example, even if you have a medical marijuana card, if you're driving beyond, you know, the limits.
Right.
So all of these places that...
I'll definitely email you.
Okay, very good. All right, thanks, Anthony.
Thank you for doing this show. I really appreciate it.
All right, my pleasure.
Bye-bye.
Let's go to Tammy in Winter Haven.
Hello.
Hi.
I have a question regarding an IRA.
All right.
The IRA owner is deceased, and the beneficiary of the IRA is a trust. When the custodian transfers the IRA to the trust, is that a taxable distribution?
It's a great question, and it depends on if the trust has the language in it that would prevent the tax from being due. So when I'm doing a trust, and the person wants to have the IRA come into the trust, the purpose is they don't want the beneficiary to be able to sell it right away and take all the proceeds. So we have to put some restriction on it. And you put some restriction on it where the beneficiary is only entitled to the required minimum distribution. There's language that can accomplish that, so all the taxes would not be due at once.
Okay.
So it depends on the language in the trust is the answer. So if you need help with that, don't have an attorney to turn to, we'd be glad to look at the trust and advise you further.
All right. Well, thank you very much. I appreciate your help.
All right. Thank you.
Bye.
Bye-bye. Let's go to Les in St. Augustine.
Hello?
Hey, Les.
Yes. The question is about another friend of mine here in St. Augustine that was a lady and her husband died, and he had done all the bills for all the years and everything. She just took care of kids and things. But what happened when he passed? She used to be getting up in age, too, and she's not senile, but she doesn't know how to take care of anything. For that type of person, there's just one person you would see to handle like insurance, investments, everything like that, that she could go to or have somebody take her to, or that could handle most of those things she's going to encounter.
Well, okay, so let's assume that she's still competent enough to at least sign a legal document.
Yes.
Okay. So the best thing that she could do would be to have give someone that she trusts a durable power of attorney. And then that person could mm-hmm. be an orchestrate getting all her bills paid and taking care of things and looking at statements and making sure everything's the way it should be.
Well, in selecting that person, she doesn't have any family here, and there's nothing that she doesn't really know that may be funny here either if she hadn't been there that long. I mean, is there like counsel and aging she would go to that could help her, a director or a certain type of lawyer?
Well, she could
just a friend who may direct her in the wrong way.
Yeah, so she should should have a living trust depending on her assets, and she could appoint someone as a trustee to manage those assets for her. And the trust, of course, would have a distribution clause upon death. That could be an attorney. It could be a trusted advisor. It could be somebody that she's befriended that she knows and trusts that could be honest and take care of her with her own assets. So I think the first step would be to go to an attorney to discuss all of this and then come up with an answer as to who the trustee would be. But she would have choices. I mean, does she want want you, for example, as a trusted friend to do it? And are you willing to do it? If she doesn't have a trusted friend that she should prefer to have an attorney, she could have a commercial trust department, depending on the size of her estate and so forth. I mean, she'd have multiple choices, and it would be better for her to come in. Maybe if you wanted to come in with her, and that would be fine, or someone she would trust to come in with her and just have a discussion with an attorney to establish who the best trustee would be.
This is quite a common situation, especially in St. Augustine, a lot of seniors and everything, and they just all of a sudden they should plan for this maybe, but this is what I couldn't help her, and I wouldn't know who to tell her. But your question is basically, who do I turn to for insurance questions? Everything has to be paid. She's a little just out of contact with everything. And who's going to...
Well, she needs she needs a durable power of attorney and a health care surrogate.
The lawyer would be the best.
That would be the best starting... Lawyer. Well, that'd be the best starting point. Now, I do serve as a trustee on a lot of trust. I have a health care provider that I try to get a person connected.
She had a will, and he had a will, but, you know, that was a simple will, just leaving her as the spouse. Been married 50-some years. And,
yeah, who was the beneficiary, do you know, upon the second death? So when she dies, what does the will say who the beneficiary is?
That would be her will.
Yeah.
They had no children, and I don't think she has anybody on.
Yeah, well, normally when I do a will for husband and wife, it's to each other, and then there's another person involved to take over and to be the beneficiary upon the second death.
I think when they wrote the wills, that was way back, and it was to be determined that she would fill that, and it just never got done.
Well, it can be filled in later, but that maybe it was never done, but you don't leave a blank space on a will because it's notarized, witnessed, and everything, and you can't write on it to make changes afterwards.
Okay,
but anyway, she should. I'd be glad if she has an attorney. Great, go back to that attorney and get some advice about power of attorneys and trust and healthcare circuits. If she doesn't have one, she could call me. I'd be glad to talk to her.
Okay, thank you very much.
All right, thank you. All right, you're listening to Ask an Attorney All About Florida Law. I'm Attorney Joe Pippin. If you have a legal question, we have a few more minutes. And if you'd like to call in, you have a toll-free number, 877-943-9673. That's 877-943-9673. Phone lines are open. If you'd like to air a free estate planning poster sheet, there's one of three ways you can get that. You can call our toll-free office number. This is not the radio number now. This is the office number you can call to request it. Just need your name and address. Or if you want to call and also make an appointment, or if you want to call and ask me a question, the number for all of that is the same. So if you want the poster sheet as well as the other things I mentioned, it's the toll-free office number, 1-800-226-3529. That's 1-800-226-3529. If you want to email me your name and address, that's Joe, J-O-E, at attypip.com. That's Joe, J-O-E, at attypip.com. If you want to text me your name and address for the poster sheet, that's 727-667-3967. That's 727-667-3967. If you would like to, let's go to Jim calling. Hey, Jim.
Yeah, hi. Hello, good morning.
Yeah, where are you calling from?
Sarasota.
Sarasota. Okay, what can we do for you?
I have a business that I'm reactivating, and I have my wife passed away about a year and a half ago, and the business kind of went down. But I was sued and have a judgment against me in Massachusetts that's not been yet domesticated to Florida. And I wanted to know the best structure for protecting the potential assets of this business from the suit.
So you reactivated the business, but this business still had assets in the business?
No, there's no assets in the business. There's just... there's just the the vendors and the servers and the people that I work with and some software and things like that. There are no assets, no money, no investments, no nothing.
So you're worried about them coming after you personally?
Well, yeah, the judgment against me is against me personally, and I also have a project's royalties that are due to me that I guess could be a judge's bets. So I wanted to protect them as well as possible.
All right, Jim, well, we only have 2 minutes left in the show. I'm not sure I can do this question a great deal of justice, but I can tell you a couple of things. Since you have a judgment against you, anything that you would do afterwards to move assets around to try to protect them could be considered a fraudulent transfer and be overturned. If you owned a home in Florida, the homestead's exempt from creditors. Insurance, annuities, and retirement accounts are exempt from creditors under Florida Statute 222. But sometimes some of that depends on a timing issue of when the judgment took place and when you own assets. And if you it could be perceived that you moved assets around into an exempt category to try to protect them. So I don't know. This is a question I'd love to spend more time with you. Maybe you want to call my office.
Yeah.
I can go over some of the other things. I've got less than a minute now on the show. So if you want to call the office.
I would like.
Yeah, call the office at us. I'll give you the 800 numbers so everyone else could also benefit.
Okay.
1-800-226-3529.
226-3529. 226-3529. Will do. Thank you.
All right. Thank you. All right, thanks for listening to Ask an Attorney All About Florida Law. We're on every Saturday morning, and you think about that and give us a call or tell your neighbors if they have a legal issue. Glad to be here. Glad to be back next week, I hope. And you have a great week. So long.